Welcome to When They Popped. Let's rewind to a simpler time together and dive deep into the music, movement, and mania behind our favorite Y2K celebrities and trends. Hosted by Kelsey and Mary, it's time for another episode of When They Popped.
Hello and welcome to When They Popped. I'm Mary, and while we may be missing Kelsey for just this one week, we couldn't let you all down, and I couldn't put you through the torture of just listening to me ramble for an entire episode. So I decided to enlist the help of one of my oldest friends, Stephanie, to discuss one of our favorite albums of all time. I know I say this about a lot of albums, but this very special CD was released at a pivotal time in our lives and is a pure piece of art. It has a 21st birthday quickly approaching in the next few months and deserves a celebration. Welcome, Steph. We're so excited to have you on as a fellow Y2K pop culture and nostalgia junkie.
Thanks for having me, Mary. I'm super excited. One of my favorite albums, so thank you for thinking of me.
Of course. You guys, Stephanie and I have been friends since like middle school, maybe, and we're way out of college, way out of graduate school, and I haven't seen her for a really long time. So this has just been an incredible opportunity that she decided to hop on with me tonight and discuss probably one of our top three or four albums from back in the day. So without further ado, let's dive into Christina Aguilera's 2002 album, Stripped. Stripped is the fourth studio album from Christina, and it was released in October of 2002. Christina was really ready to break the chains of her previously established image and show her fans who she really was. So for Stripped, unlike her prior album, Christina was able to take full control of this album, both musically and lyrically. She is credited as a writer on almost every single track except one. Steph, any guesses what track Christina didn't write?
Okay, this one threw me for a loop. I was like thinking about this, like how many songs has she written herself? That's something I just think about for like all artists. I used to think that every artist actually wrote every single song until I found out like Ed Sheeran wrote some Justin Bieber songs. So with Christina, I don't know. I would have guessed maybe like Stripped. Probably wrong.
It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh, what?
She didn't write probably the biggest song on that album. I wouldn't have batted an eyelash if you told me Christina wrote that song, but I'm like low-key appalled that she didn't. So,
but now that you say that, it makes a little bit more sense because I was like, my guess was stupid, but
I know it's not.
But wow, that makes more sense now.
At this time, Christina was going through this public metamorphosis, another ode to another one of our favorite albums, I would say. And she was really trying to change her public image. Despite previous international success of her debut, Christina was not satisfied with the music and image that her former manager, Steve Kurtz, had created for her, having been marketed as a bubblegum pop singer because of, you know, the money. There's so much money in that. And so she started mentioning in interviews leading up to Stripped plans for her next album to have more musical and lyrical depth. And by late 2000, Christina had fired Kurtz and hired new manager Irving Azoff. And it was during this time that she established her alter ego, X-Tina. Steph, what do you think she wanted to do or create by establishing this alter ego? Like, this is her version of Sasha Fierce. This is kind of how I know her.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of artists will do this like kind of coming of age, especially when they start like so young in their career or with like Disney or something. So I loved this change for her. I also loved it for me. Like you said, like our kind of coming of age album. So the timing was perfect for us, even though we were quite a few years younger than her.
Looking back, we were like 11 or 12 when this album came out, which is alarming. Let's talk about Stripped. This piece of art incorporates pop. It has R&B. We hear some soul, rock, hip-hop, even Latin influence. And lyrically, most of the songs from this album discuss these pivotal, important themes of self-respect, staying true to yourself, while the other ones even dabble on sex and feminism. Stripped debuted at number 2 with first week sales of 330,000, and it was certified 5x platinum. Stripped received multiple Grammy nominations and Beautiful won for the best female pop song. This album has since gone on to be called one of the most influential albums of all time, inspiring a generation of artists. In the United States, the album was the 10th best-selling album of 2003.
Hearing that, I'm like almost shocked that like it was the 10th best-selling album. I if I would have thought it was like higher than that. I mean, top 10 still amazing, but like, wow, it was just everywhere.
I don't even remember like what other albums came out in 2003, but I, again, I can't imagine 9 more that were better. But right?
Yeah.
On Stripped, Christina worked with a ton of songwriters and producers. We hear from Alicia Keys, Scott Storch is there, and also the writer of Beautiful, Linda Perry. And for those of you who don't know, Linda was the lead singer and primary songwriter of 4 Non Blondes, but she has since went on to found 2 record labels and composed and produced hit songs for several other artists besides Christina. Linda was purportedly one of the biggest influences on Christina during the making of Stripped. Christina said that Linda taught her that imperfections are good and should be kept because it comes from the heart and it's brave to share them with the world. And that's definitely a theme of this album, I would say. Loving you for you, being yourself. And we get 5 singles from this album. Very generous. We get Dirty, Beautiful, Fighter, Can't Hold Us Down, and A Voice Within. Wow. Pretty incredible lineup. Did you have a favorite out of the singles, Stephanie? And why?
So out of those, out of the singles, my favorite was Dirty, hands down, for sure. Music video, like, just perfect. Chef's kiss.
Was it because it was kind of risque, you would say? Did that, you know, make it more intriguing?
Yeah, I feel like Christina really was the one to kind of break this mold. I know some people might think it was Britney Spears with I'm a Slave for You, but I think Dirty really was out there. And I think it was like the first thing, at least for me, that I was just like, wow, like that was on MTV, the water, the like wrestling ring. I still remember it. So yeah, I would say Dirty was definitely my favorite. And then I really liked Can't Hold Us Down, but none of those are my favorite song on the whole album. So I love the singles, but like I weirdly always find like the non-super popular songs on an album and love them more. But then they're never on the radio. So I'm kind of like,
ugh. We just have to listen to them on our Walkmans because they didn't make the radio, but those are some of the best songs on this album, I would say. I agree with you. I think it's important we also discuss kind of the imagery that is associated with Stripped. The album cover is something that's like so simple and beautiful and at the same time very controversial. It's really just the image of becoming a woman and trying to show the world who she really is, kind of breaking free of these like Disney chains, show everyone that she's an adult. It's this very simple black and white cover. She's wearing those classic like flare low-rise jeans that were very of the time. They're all ripped and tattered. She has her arms up over her head with her long blonde hair covering her unmentionables. And I just remember this album cover ruffling some feathers. But I just thought it was so hot and like grown up. And I just thought it was so cool how like confident she was with herself.
I couldn't agree more. I absolutely loved it too. Even like the CD, like you would, like you said, we even have like iPhones. And her CD was just like, I think it was like a black CD with like handwriting, like Stripped or something, which is so like iconic. And then the black and white album cover, she just had this whole vibe. It was so well put together.
So we've kind of glossed over it. I've thrown all these numbers and stats in everyone's face. And let's bring it back to us just quickly first, Steph. I'm curious to see if your take is kind of similar to mine. This album for me was so important because it basically came out when we were like 12 years old, right in this like insane time where we're becoming teenagers, like getting ready to start high school. And I just felt like it was almost a guide or like an outlet for me to have as I was like transitioning in this stage from girl to, you know, teen woman and going through these huge changes in life. Like, what was it for you that made this album so memorable?
Well, I just absolutely also love Christina Aguilera's vocals. So I remember just this being like so powerful with her lyrics, but then like the voice behind it versus like some other artists who I love so much. Just Christina has this like super powerful, like gospel, just the sound of it. But also like other than that, just like you said, our age was just like, I think we were allowed to finally start wearing makeup that year in middle school. So that was like, oh, like we can wear makeup now. Like we were like wearing a little bit lower shirts, started having school dances. But yeah, just like the timing for us, it allowed us to feel like it's okay to grow up.
I like that you highlighted her vocals. Just another reason why this album is so special. Vice described it as full of feminist messages and 15 years on, the album still gives any woman the confidence to speak up and be heard, to take charge of her sexuality and ownership of her body, or even just sing along loud enough to amplify its messages. And I think it's truly why it's something we grasped onto at such an important age and influential time in our life. And I figured we could just take Stripped track by track and discuss what we love or maybe what we don't love about each of them. Everyone has their own opinions, no judgments here. Steph and I were re-listening to this week, and these songs are long. Like, they're at least 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and many are closer to 5. There's no corners being cut on this album, but let's dive in.
As always, a little legalese, full disclaimer, we do not own or claim to own the rights to the songs or performances in this episode. The purposes of these clips is for commentary and critique.
Track 1, Stripped intro.
Sorry you can't define me, sorry I break the mold. Sorry that I speak my mind, sorry don't do what I'm told. Sorry if I don't fake it, sorry I come too real. I will never have what I really feel.
I don't know about you, but I'm typically someone that's going to skip right over an intro or an interlude. But something about the Stripped intro and the Stripped part 2 interlude is so special. I literally will seek them out. I love the tenor. We learn right away she's pulling all the punches on this album, and it definitely sets the tone and lays the foundation for what's to come. The song starts with these like interview clips and other celebrities in the media talking about Christina, and
I did it all for the Christina. I want it. It became this real clear that the two of them were not lying.
You're forced to look at yourself
that moment.
She's like, okay, like, let me come in and introduce myself and get to know the real me.
Allow me to introduce myself. Want you to come a little closer. I'd like you to get to know me a little bit better. Meet the real me.
What did you think about these interlude stuff?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. Like, the news clips and everything. I know there was a lot of controversy at the time with Eminem and other various artists. So it was like, finally being like, wait, we're going to hear her side. And I feel like the way that things were, you know, like you said, 20 something years ago, they were like changed a lot for women today. And I'm not saying things are perfect. That was like the first like, whoa, someone's going to speak out. So I loved it. I could not agree with you more.
You're so right in that like someone was finally, let alone a woman, was finally like calling the media out kind of on their bullshit and the unfair treatment that she and other women at the time were getting. And it just, again, is a perfect way to start off this album and a perfect transition to our next song, Can't Hold Us Down. This was the fourth single from the album, and it was written and produced by Christina and a very hot producer of the time, Scott Storch. Steph, do you remember hearing him on like Paris Hilton's song? She'd be like, Scott Storch.
Scott Storch.
You know, now that you say it, it's kind of ringing a bell, but before you said the Paris Hilton thing, it wasn't.
He's very prevalent on this album. It also features a very iconic rap from Lil' Kim.
Here's something I just can't understand. The guy have three girls that he's the man. He could either give us some head and sex or roar. If the girl do the same, she's a whore.
Can't Hold Us Down is a song that encourages young women to be proud, strong, empowered, and be all that they can be. Some iconic lyrics I pulled, call me a bitch because I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I sat and smiled.
Should I be quiet just because I'm a woman? Call me a bitch because I speak what's on my mind. Guess it's easier for you to swallow if I sat and smiled.
I mean, she couldn't say it better myself, kind of encompassing what sexism is. And another line I love when she says, the guys get all the glory, the more he can score, while the girl can do the same, and yet you call her a whore.
It's a common double standard.
Again, I don't know if this like rings true to you, Stephanie, like when we were in probably in high school and later in college, it was just this whole double standard in society that she was just shining a spotlight on right there.
The feminist messages are really starting to come through. And this was a first. It was such a moment for the 2000s. So yeah, I really liked the song. It was definitely probably one of my top favorite of like the singles. This song got me like more into some of Lil' Kim. And then it made me kind of switch into dabbling into other genres. So
yeah. Little Kim's rap on this is incredible.
Also, like with the interlude, it made you want to listen to the next like songs really intently because you're like, she's going to tell a story. And mm-hmm. I love how like her song titles like all tell a story too when you like look at them.
And many people speculated it was pretty much a given that the song and these lyrics were directed towards Eminem. They were in the midst of their public feud as he had talked about her in his song, The Real Some Shady.
Excuse me, Christina Aguilera better switch me chairs so I can sit next to Carson Daly and Fred Durst and hear him argue over who she gave head to first. Little bitch put me on blast on MTV. Yeah, he's cute, but I think he's married to Kim.
So I kind of learned, because we were young, we weren't reading really the news, the headlines, the album reviews. But in my research, I learned this song got a lot of shit in the press back when it first came out. But as Steph and I kind of discussed, I feel like that's really telling of the times, you know, of the early 2000s. Christina was bringing attention to the sexist tenor of the times, and the patriarchy didn't like it. And luckily, we have come a long way since then. And I definitely think that the song is recognized as the feminist anthem that it is and has gained the respect that it deserves. What about the lyrics, Steph? You must talk so big to make up for smaller things. Like, who says that? That's so amazing.
I know. It was just, like, so pivotal. Like, these things were coming out. And I actually feel like that made us girls at the time, like we, like you said, we were 11, 12, kind of feel like we could stand up to guys when they would, like, put us down. And I remember, like, at the time, they would say, you know, if a guy's mean to you or boys mean to you at school, that means they like you. And, like, this album really started to change things where you're like, no, you can't talk to me like that. You can't bully me like that anymore. That's not how you show that you like a girl.
You're exactly right. It just came to us at the right time. I think it was a perfect storm. You and I were both very into music. We would always have our headphones in. We would always be like trying to find new songs and relied on music pretty heavily, I think. I don't know if you still do today.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember we would burn CDs for each other and we'd have these like huge, like super thick album, like, you know, where we put the CDs and like carted around school. I mean, we listen to music, I would say, just like, I don't want to say that the generations today don't listen to music, but for us, that was almost like, that was before social media.
It's different now, and it's not as powerful, I feel like, as it was when we were growing up. Do you remember the music video for this song?
Yeah, like a girl gang, like everyone's coming together.
It was done by David LaChapelle. He's like an iconic music video director. We've talked about him a ton on the pod. He did like Toxic, but she's in that pink belly shirt and she has those white long socks on and she's in her like black hair era and has those gold earrings. I loved her dark hair era. I thought she looked really, really good in this video. And like Steph said, she's with her group of women and some guy comes up to her and like taps her on the ass or something like that. And she kind of snaps back at him like, no, you can't do that. David LaChapelle said that the video was meant to be an ode to the 80s. And I definitely kind of got that vibe with the outfits and the imagery. It was 80s with a Y2K twist, I would say.
Moving right along on our journey.
Number 3 on the album is Walk Away. It's a piano ballad where she uses a metaphor to talk about an abusive relationship. It's another song by Scott Storch and Christina. I feel like this was a big song for us, Stephanie. A deep cut, not a radio song. But I just remember us blasting this song on our Walkmans. It's a wonder we have any hearing left.
Okay, this was my favorite song of the whole album. Mm-hmm. Like, when I hear Stripped, I think of Walk Away. Like, I know most people mm-hmm. think of, like, Dirty or Beautiful, but like to me it was the song. I don't know, it's just so powerful, and there's just a lot of imagery that she was using to tell a story without actually saying what happened, but we all know kind of what it's about, unhealthy relationship or maybe unfortunately like some abuse. It was really just so telling with the lyrics. Like you said, it wasn't a radio song, and so I think that's why I listened to it even more, because like I only really got to hear it if I was playing it myself.
And full disclosure, while we weren't trapped in abusive relationships at the age of 12. Mm-hmm. I think we just knew, you can just tell from this song, that this was relatable for women. And this was something that women could find like strength and camaraderie in. It struck a chord. Her vocals on it are insane. You know, like the final bridge, really powerful. From those lyrics, it's pretty easy to deduce, mm-hmm. you know, what's left unsaid is almost more powerful.
Or even just like a toxic relationship. Maybe it wasn't physical abuse either. Like, I'm obviously projecting what maybe I thought it could be, especially at that age. Well, at least for me, when I was like 11, 12, I didn't even know there was like a relationship that was like toxic other than like physical abuse. And then I think as we like grew up too, we could like relate to it more now than we could even then, and really see how it can fit into different relationships or even just like a fuckboy.
Exactly right. And I'm so glad. I thought this was your favorite and I didn't want to hype it up too much in the beginning, but it is also still my favorite.
Love that.
Yes. If you haven't listened to Walk Away off Stripped, take a deep breath, kind of, yes, put your headphones in, close your eyes, and be ready to take this journey with Christina, because it's honestly incredible. Moving on to track 4. So Stephanie, I think, said in the beginning that out of the singles, Dirty and Can't Hold Us Down were her two favorite. I would probably say Dirty and number 4, Fighter. This was, again, you guessed it, another Christina and Scott Storch production and the third single from the album. It peaked at number 20 on the Billboard Hot 100 and was certified double platinum. The tone of the song was inspired by Guns N' Roses' song November Rain. And it was characterized as kind of a hybrid rock and R&B song that incorporates the elements of arena rock and rock and roll. Harper's Bazaar ranked Fighter among the 50 best songs of the 2000s. In 2023, the single was listed as number 5 of the 100 greatest songs of 2003 by Billboard. And again, for me, just a common theme of this album and this song, it's just so relatable. I don't think any woman, let alone anyone in general, doesn't have a relationship or a person that they can look to that made them feel this way that Christina's talking about in the song. And I wish I had the strength to thank people that hurt me, but I just remember being godsmacked when I first heard it, and I heard the intro, and then the guitars come in like heavy right afterwards.
But in the end, I want to thank you, because you made me that much stronger.
It's definitely a long-standing highlight for me, this song. What are your thoughts on Fighter?
So the thing I mentioned earlier, too, with like the titles, just hearing how it's like Walk Away, or now it's like Can't Hold Us Down, Fighter. It's just like telling a story, but just even like looking at the titles. And you're just kind of seeing her like growth and like how she came to be this kind of person. It's like, you can't hold me back anymore. I'm a fighter. So that's just something really notable to me that I really like have picked up on. Not necessarily when I was 12, but like, you know, this week, as I was like listening to stuff again and looking at the songs and the titles, I was like, wow, it almost tells the story before you even listen to the album. So I loved the song too. Definitely one of my favorite from the album.
I don't even think I had made that realization until you said it, that the album is so good that the tracks are all in a specific order and they tell a story through the lyrics, through the titles, through the interludes. Like, you just don't get that anymore. There's just so much depth to it. Christina has since revealed kind of her inspiration for the song. She talked about growing up in a very chaotic and abusive home, which she talked about in other songs. She just said she didn't always grow up feeling safe. And, you know, she was picked on a lot, but she said that being picked on like that made her smarter and stronger. And so there you go. You get this kind of inspiration for Fighter. Again, I just wish I had the maturity to be grateful and thank those who have hurt me or held me back in the past. But I'm working towards it. So I also like love that final pre-chorus bridge. She's like, how could this man, you know, like she changed it. It's like a total flip in the tone of the song.
How could this man, I thought I know, turn out to be just so cool.
and it's like delicate and vulnerable almost, and then picks up like even more intensely when she's like, "You won't stop me." And I just love the kind of the juxtaposition of those two different parts.
Another thing I really like is you always hear that phrase, like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Yeah. But she like took her own take on it and made this song and the lyrics. So it's not like she's just repeating like, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I liked like that take on it. Another thing, again, I'm not going to act like I knew any of this or picked up any of this when the album came out. But it's cool to see it like now, like really tell the story, like you said, 21 years later.
Like seeing it through adult eyes. I agree. So the music video, it was directed by a woman, and I cannot say her name, Floria Sigismondi. And it was, I guess, inspired by her signature dark theatrics and like this life circle of moths. This is not my favorite music video, but like I get what they were doing, if that makes sense. Like, you know, it's about this transformation she's going through, and Christina, she's like transforms from a moth to kind of like a spider. She breaks out of this glass box that she was trapped in. There's this like dark ballet mothy vibes. I was rewatching it on YouTube, you know, a couple days ago, and was just looking through the comments and just saw a lot of comments of how people were saying like this song like saved their lives, things like that. While this music video might not be my favorite, but reading those comments, it was like she really had such an impact through this album.
I completely agree with you, Mary. Like the music video wasn't necessarily like something that really stood out to me. But again, like maybe if we would have had this album at like a different time in our life, like if we would have been around Christina's age or had gone through maybe some heavy trauma or something, we also could have maybe related to on a different level or note.
100%. And again, I could talk about some of these all day, but I'm trying to not keep Stephanie on here all night. So we'll go on to track number 5. And this is going to be my first skip. And it's the Primo Amor interlude.
Yo te contaré una historia.
It was entirely in Spanish, and while it's not something I felt like I needed to listen to again, and Steph has totally like brought this to my attention, this is like a story, and this album's telling a story, and it's right leading up into track number 6, which is Infatuation.
Her order of songs is so critical.
It's literally a perfect segue into Infatuation. And it's done by Christina and Scott Storch. Surprise, surprise. Do you remember why we love this song so much?
Oh my gosh, it's so good. Like, I think we have almost all the same favorite songs because we would always listen to them together. You know, as best friends. Again, the lyrics on this, it's like telling a story. My favorite part is the skin the color of cinnamon, his eyes light up, and I melt within. Feels so good, it must be a sin.
Skin the color of cinnamon, his eyes light up, and I melt within. Feels so good, it must be a sin.
I mean, it rhymes, it's got imagery. I just love this song, especially when you're like 12, 13, you're like, oh my gosh. You start like, you know, having crushes on people and noticing these little things. So I absolutely love this song. I still love this song. I never skip it if it comes up on my shuffle.
I love that she's embracing her like Latina side in the song. You know, we all know she's very proud of her heritage. I remember it was because of the song that I had to Google what a Boricua was. She's like, I am full blood Boricua. She was giving us an education left and right. I had no idea. And also, like, I feel like the message of this song was kind of like a forbidden or like a scary, uncertain.
Like a forbidden, scary love. And the big question is, should she go to Puerto Rico with him or not?
We don't know how it's going to turn out in a song that I will never get over. Never.
No, never. I just thought it was just like such a cool song.
Oh, God. It brings back memories for me, you know, like a nostalgic memory. So if you have not heard this song, Infatuation, track 6, Unstripped, what are you doing? You need to do that and walk away and then come report back. Moving on, Stephanie, track 7, Love's Embrace Interlude.
Oh,
God. I tried with this one a couple days ago. And again, I think it goes with the next song. I just didn't need this one.
You're just like taking the words out of my mouth 100%. I definitely a skip song for me. I feel bad saying that. There's just so many other songs on here that I just loved so much more where, you know, the whole album was incredible, but we would maybe skip a couple of these interludes a little bit.
We don't have to feel guilty for skipping an interlude, especially since we would like defend multiple interludes on this album like to death. Oh, yeah. So that's okay. But Love's Embrace interlude leads into track 8, which is Lovin' Me For Me. But the best quality that's hooking me is that you're loving me for me. Again, a Christina and Scott Storch song. It has a super high falsetto. It's delicate, but again, embraces this message of being yourself and finding someone who loves you for who you are. She keeps cranking out these self-esteem and empowerment, self-love songs. This one, I used to skip automatically. It was like too slow for me, or just too, I don't know. I've learned to appreciate it more as I've gotten older, but it is like very specific for a mood for me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't like one of the songs that I like really, really can give too much like input on because same, like it wasn't my repeat songs. I appreciate it though.
You guys, we're going to sound like a broken record, but I swear this is the last one for a little bit. Number 9 is Impossible. It features a piano solo from Alicia Keys.
Play some for me, Alicia.
I'm sure it's like very technically beautiful. It has a jazz funk sound. It is just not my favorite, but I appreciate that it is a piece of art. Like, you know, I don't know. I have 3 in a row that I'm kind of like,
at least we're keeping them together. And I feel like people who are listening are probably going to relate to us maybe a little bit on some of these.
I don't know how you feel about this next one, because I feel like I found it a little bit later in my tenure with this album. And track 10 is Underappreciated. She's talking about someone who's seemingly been in this long-term relationship and put in all this time and effort and just isn't getting the same out of their partner. It goes unnoticed and unreciprocated. And again, I just think all of us can relate to that with someone, whether it's a love interest, a friend, a family member. The beat of that song is like funky. I like it.
The sound of it was like so different from some of her other songs, like the ballads or like the Latin flair. Yeah, I thought it was like still a really pretty piece and definitely more so one of the like ways to touch on something, but like in a delicate way versus like Walk Away where it's just like,
oh god,
hits you in the face, you know?
Yeah, it's like more like upbeat, but like addresses a serious topic, and it's funky. It has like trumpets. It's weird, but I like it. So we'll keep Underappreciated around. Okay, everybody hold on to your pants because I'm going to have to spit some facts for the next couple minutes for track 11, which is Beautiful. I am beautiful in every single way. His words can't bring me down. Beautiful is a pop and R&B ballad that discusses issues of self-esteem and insecurity, promotes this message of self-empowerment, embracing your inner beauty. The song talks about overcoming life's trials and holding oneself up against criticisms from the outside. It was released as the album's second single, and it was written and produced by Linda Perry. Christina commented that she put her heart and soul when she recorded this track, and she felt that it represented the theme of Stripped. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, I really liked how it was just like complete self-acceptance and whatever that relates to, whether it's like, you know, how you feel on the inside, your outward appearance. Most people would think like beautiful, like, but it actually has so much more meaning to that. Also like to your sexuality. So I really loved like that theme coming through, especially with the music video. You definitely get more of a glimpse into what she's saying without having to necessarily say it. You know what I mean? It was really eye-opening for me at the time and like our age.
it was a different time back then too, when there was a lot more of a stigma around sexuality. Oh, yeah. It was truly like ahead of its time.
Yes.
The song peaked at number 2 on the Billboard chart. It stayed on the chart for 27 weeks. That's like 6 months or so. You know, I don't know. I'm not a math girl, but this was Christina's longest charting single. And Stephanie can attest to that. I'm not a math girl. And she was
went double. Either.
No. We needed the tutor. I'm sorry. We haven't caught up for a long time. So this is just going to jump in here and there. But this was Christina's longest charting single and was certified double platinum. Beautiful received universal acclaim from the critics. It won the Grammy Award for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance and was nominated for Song of the Year. In 2009, Rolling Stone and VH1 listed it as one of the best songs of the 2000s. The accompanying music video for the song opens with Christina speaking the line, "Don't look at me. Followed by scenes of her singing alone in a room, intercut with self-image related sequences of other people. Someone is struggling with anorexia, looking in the mirror, and she eventually punches through it. There's a thin teenage boy lifting weights in a room where he's like has all these images of bodybuilders up on the wall. In one sequence, a girl is physically bullied by several peers. The video also touches on LGBTQ+ issues. There's a gay couple kissing on the bench and they're just ignoring stares. And we even see a transgender woman putting on makeup and a wig and women's clothing. As I say in my notes right here, you cannot tell me this woman was not ahead of her time. Rewatching that video and reading through the topics that were touched upon, I cannot believe she did that in 2003.
She was so ahead of her time in the best way possible. I mean, that was really great for our generation. I know we were quite a few years younger than Christine at the time, but I think it allowed for us to grow up in a way of seeing the world in the way it should be seen. Maybe that's why millennials may be seen as being more, I don't even like using the word open-minded because that's not what I'm trying to say, but like versus like maybe our parents' generation and how things are just like old school. So I really loved that this was, you know, something that we saw at that point in our life that was very eye-opening to like when we were coming into our own like sexuality and going through, you know, the teenage years and seeing that like this is totally normal and this is part of life and it truly is beautiful. Like love who you love, love yourself. Yes. This song was just wonderful.
Not only was it a staple in Mean Girls, I associate that song with Mean Girls almost. It's like known to inspire some other pop songs like Firework. Baby, you're a firework. Born This Way. It just had such a far-reaching, long-term impact. And you said it so well. You summed it up perfectly. For me, I did love this song, but as you said earlier, I almost liked some more of her less commercially successful self-empowerment anthems a bit better. And I think it was probably because this was literally on the radio nonstop for like 7 months, you know, whatever it was. And I just think I got tired of it after a while.
Yeah, same. Nothing against the song. Obviously, we've like praised it so much and the message that it shows, not just with like outward beauty and like beauty standards in like the 90s and 2000s. Yes. It's like so much more and deeper than that. So it's nothing against that. We just heard it so much that we just wanted to switch it up a little bit. Great song. A classic.
Absolutely a classic. All right, moving on. Okay, we're going to go through another little batch here. Track 12, Makeover. Christina and Linda Perry. I just had a friend actually recommend this song to me, and so I went back to it and kind of re-listened to it, and it's like a salsa dance rock song. Christina was actually sued for illegally sampling a Sugar Babe song called Overload. It's a one-way ticket to a madman situation. I was not aware of any of these lawsuits. I will say I liked it. It's a little different. Not one of my, you know, stan all-time life favorites, but I would suggest giving it a chance. Have you listened to this song much?
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't. Yeah. Not that it wasn't like an automatic skip song. I was just like so heavily focused on some of the like my favorite hits this week. Yes. And I just kept putting those on repeat. I also did not know about the lawsuit on this one. Super interesting.
My fellow legal eagle. But so we're not gonna waste too much time on songs that we don't feel super impassioned about. So I'm gonna just take us right next to 13, which is Cruise. Which is, again, Christina and Linda Perry. Okay, this song for me, it starts off, she's like, I'm leaving today. I'm going to cut that out.
I'm leaving today.
As soon as I hear that, I'm like, oh God, like next. Like, there's just something about the way that the song starts for me that I can't get over. And it like gives me like shiver cringes and I just have to skip it. It's just not my vibe.
Yeah, I feel you on that.
I like it. Can't even give that song a chance. As soon as I hear that intro, I'm like, I don't like it. I don't know. But let's see. The lyrics are like super repetitive. I don't know. If you like Cruise, please let us know because yeah. We just can't get into it. We need all the help we can get. But 14. I like 14. 14, we have Soar.
Sing your hate, the world is yours, but
and this is Christina. She sings with what sounds like a gospel choir, and it's just yet another empowerment song. Notable lyric, when they push, when they pull, can you still hold on?
When they push, when they pull, tell me, can you hold on? When they say you should change, can you lift your head high and stay strong?
She has a final pre-chorus bridge in this song. It's kind of like Fighter. It's like a pivot from the normal tenor and tone. I like when she does that, when she switches it up. It kind of reminds me of like Beyonce's Partition. It would start out one way and then completely change. Like I just get a little flash of that in some of these songs. She hits like some really, really high like whistle type notes in the final chorus. I get chills when I hear it. Steph, was this one of our shared songs or was this a Mary song?
Now that you mention it, I think it was a little bit more of a Mary song, but I think you like rubbed off on me because, you know, looking back at the lyrics and listening to it this week, it really was just such a beautiful song. And I think it also was like the moment of your life that you relate to songs more. And I just really like how it's like, don't be scared to fly alone, find your path, it's your own, love open the door. So like maybe, unfortunately, Mary had her heart broken that week or something. And I was... I don't know. Dancing dirty in front of the mirror. But now looking back, like you said, we're a broken record, like with the beautiful like meaning behind all these songs. But they have just like these really amazing messages behind them. So Christina was just, she is a lyrical goddess.
Genius, goddess, all of the above. Mm-hmm. And moving on to 15, I know for a fact Stephanie liked this song. I know it. I remember it. And this is Get Mine, Get Yours. This was a really sexy, slower song. It basically embodies and tries to de-stigma kind of casual sex. Mm-hmm. You know, she says, I want your body, not your heart.
No strings attached. I want your body.
She's very clear about what she wants from this person. It reminded me when I was listening to it again, like why we might have been a tad young for this album at 12, but the song is a piece of art. And I appreciate Christina trying to, you know, remove this stigma and be her true self through her music. And you can just tell when someone's being themselves because like Stripped, the work product is just so incredible. And you could just tell that this was her and this was how she felt. Stephanie. Was I right? Did you like this song?
100%. I love this song. I still love the song. At the time, again, I didn't realize that it was kind of like, when you strip it away, it's about like sex. I knew it was sexy though, you know, given some of the lyrics. Can you put your hands on my waistline? Want your skin up against mine? But I love this song. It's so good. And I think another reason that this song for me really for like given our age and everything, allowed me to feel like confident, like I can wear what I want to wear. And, you know, to a point, Mary and I had to wear uniforms in middle school, but we would, you know, feel more confident. Like we can like maybe roll our skirt a little bit or, you know, maybe wear shorter shorts. We had to switch for gym class, feeling like way more confident, I think, with like ourselves and our body. And we were changing at that time, you know, we're like, you know, maturing and like kind of like have some hard time with maybe like, oh, like I am gaining weight or I'm like getting taller and like I'm not fitting into clothes the same anymore. But like this song was just such a really great way, at least for me, to just feel like more confident around boys, like our age. Like, I don't know, not that we were, you know, having casual sex at that age, but again, we weren't seeing these like deeper messages at the time. So I love this song. I just, I'm obsessed with it still.
If you don't know this one, because this wasn't on the radio, so if you don't know this one, add this to the the three non-radio songs you need to listen to. But this one, let's go to 16. Stephanie and I definitely thought that we were some dirty gals when we were, you know, in seventh and eighth grade. I used to think Beautiful was the first single off the album, but Dirty was the lead first single from Stripped, and holy shit, what a stir that caused. The label did want her to release Beautiful as the first single, which I get. That definitely would have been like safer. But Christina really fought for this because, as we know, this was her Metamorphosis album. This was showing her true self, and she thought that Dirty was the whole point of this album. So, crazy enough, this was Christina's first single not to grace the top 20 of the Billboard 200, as it peaked at 48. I know. I'm sure she got a lot of shit from like mom groups, whatever. But oh my God, for me, it's just that intro, that like beat at the start of the song. It's like, boom, boom, shh, Dirty.
Ah, Dirty.
It's just like, oh God, like shit's going down. Here we go.
Oh man. You know, Mary, when you say these statistics, I would never have realized that it did not even grace the top 20. I never knew that. I would have thought it was so much higher because this song was just like, I don't know. We played it all the time. I know I touched on this a little bit earlier, just the music video. This, I think, I mean, I'd have to look up some of like Britney's songs at the same time of this. And I know we're not trying to like get into that, but it really was this like, you were either a Britney girl or you were a Christina girl. This song was just the really like super breakthrough at the time for like female artists to not be like, you know, before she was like, I'm a genie in a bottle. And like now she's breaking into this whole like, this is me, I'm not this little girl anymore. And I know everyone's kind of had their equivalent, like Slave for You. Or like, my number one is Miley, love her. Hers, you know, was I Can't Be Tamed. So like everyone has that song that is their, you know, coming of age. I am sick of being this Disney girl. And so Dirty, I remember being like, whoa, this is so different from Genie in a Bottle. I felt like I could kind of grow up with the song. I mean, I wasn't allowed to wear the lace-up open jeans and crop tops at school, but it kind of almost led to being a more confident, like, adult. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, like, this person can do it, and they're out in the media, and they're, that's what we're seeing. So then it allows you to kind of grow up and be like, it's okay to dress however you want, you know, be whoever you want. So be yourself, just do what you want. So I love this song. I'm still shocked that it was not, you
like
know,
a huge commercial success. Again, this is like a very sexual song, but has the same message as every other single song on this album of be yourself. If you want to, you know, go be dirty at some club and mud wrestle or whatever she does in this video, like that's you. Go do you. Be who you are. And I love how she just continues this full assault of this message through all these different genres and types of songs on this album. And it's just eye-opening to look at as an adult. And I loved how she misspelled the title of the song, you know, how it was like dirty, not D-I-R-T-Y, but D-I-R-R-T-Y, like dirty. The music video was also done by David LaChapelle. He knew the vision. He understood the assignment. He knew Christina wanted to be introduced as her like alter ego, her ex-Tina persona. And this video was what kind of like eliminated that previous image of her. And I think that's what she wanted to do. That was the goal. And Sweat Until My Clothes Come Off, that's like gonna be in my head till I die. Sweat until my clothes come off. That's like such an iconic part of the song. And I just, again, even on a song like this, she still like flexes her vocals. But she's like, whoa, whoa. And she does that like vocal climb before the final chorus. Here we go. Oh, and I saw her in concert like maybe 2 years ago. I texted Steph. I was like, I'm going to Christina for a liberation tour. And she still just can stand there and sing that song and do that climb like nothing has changed. It's pretty awesome. Billboard put Dirty at number 26 on its 2018 list of greatest music videos of the 21st century, calling it ahead of its time, as we have as well. And despite the controversy, Dirty is like probably her most recognized music video, and it's what she has said her most personal favorite from her catalog. And as Steph mentioned, this was kind of like her Slave for You. Many people have compared that to Britney, because that was the whole thing back then, this comparison, Christina, Britney.
So when you think of Christina too, like even recently, Kylie Jenner wore that like Dirty Halloween costume. Like this is like, if you want to be Christina Aguilera, that is what you, like
what
the
you
hair
do
with the blonde and the dark streaks, the chaps. Like it's just like, that's what I think of when I think Christina Aguilera in her, I don't want to use the word prime because I feel like women don't have a prime. I don't feel like we ever expire, but that was just like her, like coming out, like I'm a woman and I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to sing what I want.
Yeah.
So when I think of Christina Aguilera, I think of literally her Dirty outfit from the music video.
And I think that was her goal. So that's amazing. And I think she succeeded.
Nailed it.
Moving on. Track number 17. Another interlude that I am willing to go to bat for. And this is Stripped Part 2. Whoa. Sorry if I'm perfect. Sorry, I don't give a what? I have yet to find another album with interludes that like slap so much as these do. Notable lyric, sorry I ain't a diva, sorry just know what I want, sorry I'm not a virgin, sorry I'm not a slut, I won't let you break me, think what you want. Another gut check of the tone and the tenor of this album. Like, in case you forgot, this is the direction of this album. It's unapologetic. And it's, again, trying to hit back against what was very of the times, the early 2000s. This narrative, if you don't save yourself for marriage, you're a slut. You know, Britney Spears had to answer questions every time she did an interview. Have you and Justin had sex? Are you saving yourself to marriage still? And Christina had similar pressures and questions and accusations. So again, just hearing that, it was such a flashback of the time, and it was really brave what she came out and like was saying.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting is I looked up how old she was when the song came out, and it said that she was 21. And I feel like people are just, at the time, were painting her to be this, like, she isn't an adult or can't, you know, act like this or do this. And I feel like at 21 years old now, my gosh, like, your 21st birthday, people are literally dressing like that or going to the clubs and doing this exact same thing, just not in a music video. No one's recording us. Right. It's frustrating to see that what she had to do, but she paved the way for us. I mean, then we were able to be more vocal and expressive, but just, you know, having to say, sorry, I'm not a slut, like at 21, because you're like experimenting or dating around. Like, it's just like so crazy how different things were back then.
Yeah, she was such a trailblazer. And looking back, I'm like, that was really fucking brave, because like this was not what women were saying at the time. So, but okay, track 18 is The Voice Within. You This is the fifth and final single from Stripped. The song was written by Christina and Glenn Ballard. It's a piano-driven ballad that talks about trusting oneself and one's instincts. Critics likened this to, you know, a song of Mariah or a song by Whitney. And let me tell you, the amount of times I've turned to this song more in my younger years is just like a reminder to kind of stick to your guns, like, you know yourself, be true to myself. It's really a beautiful, powerful ballad. But despite all of that, it only peaked at number 33 on the Billboard Hot 200. Steph, was this song as important to you as it was to me?
Definitely. And another shocker with the Billboard numbers. And I feel like maybe for us too, this one we related to more because the lyrics are like, young girl, like, don't hide. Young girl, we were kind of like that young girl. So I feel like Christina singing about this was speaking to us in real time. So I feel like maybe we related to it more than maybe the other 21-year-olds her age.
Great perspective. You're so right. She was like literally speaking to us. I love that final bridge before her last chorus when she does that, like, life is a journey, and it changes the tenor of the song. A common theme on this album, and she's like, no one can stop you, you know that I'm talking to you. No one can stop you, you know that I'm talking to you. And it like kind of pauses and it echoes, and it's like, okay, I guess I need to trust the voice within. She's talking to me. Jesus Christ. Like, it just doesn't get more in your face powerful than that. There was also a music video for this song. I didn't really remember it. Again, it was done by David LaChapelle, and it was just like the stripped down one take music video. It's like very simple. It begins with a close up of Christina and zooms out and just continues this like one black and white shot. She's walking through several rooms, just like singing the song to the camera. It's like very understated, simple, beautiful, just like the song. And again, for me, this is a song from the album that has stood the test of time. I can come back to it anytime. I don't think I'll ever grow out of or get sick of this song.
Yeah, and this song also reminds me a lot of, or like, similarities to the song Every Time by Britney Spears. Again, relating to us in real time. And I feel like maybe that's why these songs just to us were so impressionable. We were listening to them, but as the young girl being like, oh, it's okay to do this.
Yeah, I love that. This one is very important to me. I agree completely. I'm going to fly through these next two songs unless Steph stops me, because I don't think either one of these are super important. But stop me if I'm wrong, Steph. I'm Okay is track 19. I look back at yesterday, and I'm okay. That's, again, by Linda Perry and Christina, and it's another ballad, and it incorporates a lot of string instruments, and it discusses Christina's abusive childhood with her father. I was never super into this song. I like her song, Oh Mother, from Back to Basics. Oh mother, don't look back, 'cause you never heard a song. She talks about the abuse that her and her mother went through.
It wasn't like a super like repeat song for me that I would play often, but I think it's just because it made me kind of sad. Like, that's some true. Of the lyrics, I like looked them up this week, but like, bruises fade, father, but the pain remains the same. Bruises fade, father, but the pain remains the same. I think I would skip past it because I was like, oh, so sad. Like, I wasn't emotionally mature enough to handle, like, even hearing that at 11. So I agree with you, Mary, where we would skip it. I think we just like skipped it because we just couldn't relate and we didn't have that like emotional intelligence at the time to really like understand her pain. That's the only take I can kind of give, is just that you'd be really sad.
You're right, Steph. That is 100% why I think it's just like, ooh, this is like a dark topic that I don't understand and I don't experience. I don't need to go to that place. And I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. Like some songs we would like want to relate to, even though we probably couldn't. Like,
yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah. Get my girl.
Get mine, get yours. Exactly. Like, totally the same. We were just wanting to relate to it with like boys. Yes. But like this, we were like, not only couldn't relate to it, but we didn't want to relate to it.
You're right on the money with that. What about number 20? Keep on singing my song. Keep on singing my song. It kind of reminds me of Sora's younger sister. It's just like maybe not as good as Sora. But again, the theme's right on track. There's gospel singers. It's just like, I have Sora. I don't need Sora's little sister. That's kind of my take.
Yeah, same. Honestly, it's not even coming to mind right now. So you're hitting that on the money.
Okay, so track 20, that's where we end Stripped. I haven't seen a long, substantive album like that for many, many years. After Stripped's release, Christina supported the album by embarking on two separate tours in the summer of 2003. Justin Timberlake and Christina embarked on the Justified and Stripped tour that was in North America, and then Christina then took the Stripped tour solo to Europe and Asia. She had plans to return to the United States to continue the tour for 29 dates, but had to cancel them due to vocal strain. And I remember the Stripped and Justified tour was a big deal. I think our friend Lisa went to that, and it definitely got people in that frenzy because it was like Justin and Britney had broken up and Christina and Justin were touring, like drama. And they kind of like talked about Britney some on the tour, which looking back probably wasn't the best thing. But I don't think we attended this tour, but I think, Steph, we had like a Stripped tour DVD that we would like watch at your house. Do you remember that? Or am I like losing my mind?
No, you're right. Like our parents wouldn't let us like maybe go to the concert, but I think we like got footage of it somehow. Who knows? But definitely would like watch it. And yeah, the Britney, Christina, Justin drama, you just like saying this right now, it's bringing me back because I forgot that they were on tour together until right now. I'm like, wait, what?
Especially since like they were all connected from the Mickey Mouse Club. Like Christina and Justin knew each other, just like Britney and Justin knew each other since they were like 7, 8 years old. So like, you know, who knows? They may have hooked up. But like, again, there was this whole frenzy back then with that tour. And I remember being really jealous that our friend got to go.
What was your first concert?
Was it not Hillary? Was that your first?
I think my very, very first was Spice Girls. Hillary was second, but really, like, I was a lot younger when I went to Spice. I think I was, like, 7, and I didn't appreciate it. But, yeah, it was Hillary Duff. Still love her.
Steph and I went to Hillary Duff's Metamorphosis tour. We went in Chicago. We went with Steph's mom, who literally tried to, like, get us backstage. It was the most incredible effort I had ever witnessed. And we wore these, like, matching Lizzie McGuire shirts and pink skirts and thought we were just so hot. But we literally looked like children in short skirts. It was just
Lizzie McGuire cartoon shirts. Please try to picture it. And Hillary and I looked so similar. We still do. But, like, growing up, like, we told people we were twins, and they like kind of believed it. So we dressed the same. So yes.
But
that was so fun.
I know. I miss you.
Oh, miss you. Please bring me back.
Oh my God. Of course we will have you back. But okay. Let me wrap up Stripped.
Stripped turned 15 in 2017, and a lot of critics took the opportunity to kind of reevaluate the album. And I'm not surprised. The album was praised for its longevity, the cohesion, and lasting impact and influence in contemporary music. And in 2017, Billboard named Stripped as one of the most important albums of the 2000s, which it was, noting the critical and sonic influence that the album had on an array of other artists, including Rihanna, Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez, Sabrina Carpenter, and Steph's fave, Miley Cyrus. They added that ultimately, Christina defining herself as Stripped was not an ode necessarily to her sexually empowered image, but representative of her peeling back these layers and getting to the music and emotions that make up the vocal powerhouse as a human, including all her darkness, fears, and insecurities. I think these quotes kind of sum up why Stripped is so important to us. When an artist is being genuine and not only being their true selves, but also using that vulnerability to strengthen and lift up others, how can you like not identify with that immediately? Like, that's why Stripped was so important to me.
Yeah, this was just, I think, the album that really allowed me to like be who I am today. And I know that sounds probably so cliche and so dumb, but like just really can, some people like just really, really relate to music, and some people really relate to other things, maybe like sports. I'm not super sporty, but like, I don't know. It just like made me feel like I could be really confident. I'm not gonna say I'm the most confident person in the world. Like, I have insecurities like up the wazoo, but like, this just hit the right age for me to be like, I can speak my mind. I'm not gonna let boys talk down on me. I'm not even gonna let my teachers put me down.
Yeah.
I think this really made me like who I am today. And I don't take shit from anybody. So thank you, Christina, for like just, you know, but seriously, like Christina really, like you said, Mary, hit it right there on the sweet spot that she was ahead of her time and she ran with it and she really helped us girls, I feel like, come into ourselves and who we really are.
Perfectly said. Music was so important to us, and I just, it's sad that it doesn't seem to carry as much weight anymore, but this album was just pivotal for us and so many other people, as I was seeing like on YouTube comments. I'm glad we're not like alone in that. But to end this, I want to know, Steph, now that we've gone through Stripped from head to toe, I need to know, if you could only take three and leave the rest forever, which would you pick and why?
Okay, Walk Away. Doesn't even need an explanation. Love that song. Everyone, please listen to it. I know it wasn't like a radio song, but like listen to it. Get Mine, Get Yours. And then, you know, I know this might be kind of controversial, but I think I'm going to pick Infatuation. Yeah. I'm sorry, okay. Dirty and Beautiful aren't maybe going to make my top three, but they would make my top five.
Okay, I'm going to do Walk Away. I'm going to do Infatuation. So we're two for two right here. And then just to like mix it up a little bit, but not because this is like my dead winner, I think I would go, I'll take Fighter for my third. But it's hard. It's hard. But as Steph said, listen to those deep cuts that we mentioned. There's some really good deep cuts on this album. And first of all, I think I have successfully talked everyone's ear off, but just go streamed Stripped. If you are needing a morale boost or a reminder of who the fuck you are and what you deserve, go to that album. Or if you just like want to listen to some incredible vocals in a true piece of Christina art that has gone down in history as an actual masterpiece, it's there for you, just waiting for you to listen. It's almost its birthday. Give it some streams. And Steph, thank you so much for spending an hour and a half with me tonight and reliving some of these memories.
Thanks for having me. It was super, super fun. I loved this. And yeah, everyone, let's go stream. Let's get it back on like the top 200. Can we do that?
I love that. That would be fun. Streaming Stripped forever. I'm always giving Stripped streams. So Steph, thank you again.
So that was my little one-on-one with Steph. I hope you enjoyed our breakdown of Stripped. Kelsey will be back next week and we have a little fun VMA themed episode planned for you. So make sure you like, subscribe, leave us 5 stars, write us a nice review. Thanks for listening. Bye.
No hype, no gloss, no pretense. Just me. Stripped.